This episode is going to be different. It is going to be just me, and we are going to go back in time and relive a bunch of things. So here we go. It is a cold Monday morning in the early 2000s. Well, cold enough in a way where you know the sun is going to show up in a couple of hours. So wearing a sweater all day is not the most optimal. But now that you're in middle school and it is Monday, you need to wear your blazer anyway, and you can take that off after the morning assembly, so you're covered. Middle school also meant that you got to enter school with the big boys from the main gate instead of that tiny little gate in between the pavilion and the first 11 field. The main gate has always had and will always have its charm. As a student, you want to rush past the first checkpoint, which is about 20 meters after you enter, in order to avoid being punished for being late. But then, the walk all the way to your classroom is a world of its own. On the right, you see the cricket team finishing up their morning practice in the nets. The sharp sound of bat on ball makes you want to pause in the rush to class. But you move ahead and catch a glimpse of some of the players diligently packing their kit with all their equipment. You continue to walk, but your mind wanders to think about the life of a cricket player in school. You got to skip classes and play all day at times. Just as you venture further into this daydream, your senses return to reality when a brown and muddy football misses you by inches, and you are snapped back into the world. The football team is also training and have finally got to play for 20 minutes after all their drills from earlier in the morning. The ball is a couple of feet away, and suddenly the entire football team is yelling at you to throw the football back to them so that they can save some time and energy. So you muster all your strength and try to throw the ball over the fence. And in seconds, you are in complete terror because you don't know how to throw it high enough. Somehow you try again, and the ball makes it to the fence and the game goes on. Your mind wanders again as you look far on the left side this time at the basketball court where the team is just practicing three-pointers for fun. You wonder how those boys can throw such a big ball so high all the time. And then you zoom back out from the basketball court to see most of the junior school lined up from one end of the field. Right, need to get going. At the edge of the field, you will see a bunch of book bags and lunch baskets that have been left behind by either those who felt they couldn't rush to their classroom and come back in time for the assembly, or by those who felt the risk was worth it just to play a bit of some sport in the morning. You contemplate if you should do the same but decide against it and rush past some of your classmates who have already gotten into line for the assembly. They choose to remind you that you are late and even take a little sadistic pleasure in the potential of you getting punished for it. But you make it to class. Cap, blazer, hymn book, check. Join the line and fight to stand behind the guy your height just to feel a little taller. The middle school class lines descend onto the first 11 field to take their spot so that the senior school can walk up to theirs. 5,000 kids in one place should sound like chaos, but there really only is a mild buzz that fills the air, as your conversations are limited to whispers. In front of us is the administrative block, which is on the road above the field where we stand. There is a podium with a mic alongside it. Mr. Shivanna has done his customary mic check, and the more punishment-fearing students stop talking at this point since they know that things are about to start. Even the school choir right behind the podium are about to stop fidgeting since the keyboard is plugged in and ready to go. The teacher in charge finally approaches the mic and says, "School, attention." Three older students, the school captain, the head of boarders and the head of day scholars, all approach the front and begin to hoist a green and gold cloth, our school flag. The captain has gotten good at this and ties the rope firmly before he assumes an attention position for Mr. Samuel to play the introduction of the school song, which is rendered by the 5,000 students on the field. My memory is a little fuzzy at this point, but we may have also sung the founder's hymn right after. But then we hear the word school stand at ease, which meant we could finally move our hands to the back and widen our stance. A student walks up to do the Bible reading. It is from the book of Psalms, and the daydreaming kicks in for a minute again, where you wonder why the P in Psalms is silent. But come back to your senses when you hear the student say, "Here ends this morning's Bible reading, thanks be to God." Yes, the prayer is next. And as the teacher walks up and says, "Let us pray," you can hear a flurry of caps being removed as we all bow down our heads. A couple of minutes later, after the Amen and caps are back on, the principal walks up to the podium for his remarks. Yes, someone won something in some competition. We clap and that kid walks up and lifts a well-earned trophy. But is there anything happening today so that we get to miss some classes? Or is there a surprise holiday to be announced? But no, we get another type of announcement. The principal says, "I'm deeply grieved to announce the demise of person X, who was related to student Y of class and section. Let us observe a minute's silence, praying for the departed soul and the bereaved family." Everything just feels a little colder, and it has nothing to do with the weather. The caps come off again, and we begin to observe a minute's silence. That 1 minute silence. 1 minute silence. In the earlier days, I didn't understand why everyone got super quiet at this time. I never knew what the words like grieved, demise, and bereaved meant. I just looked around to see what was going on at that time. I would see some others around me looking for answers as well, while a few students would just be standing still. I looked up and saw the teachers stand still as well, with their heads bowed down, only halfway to what would have been the full prayer position. It took some time to realize that someone had passed away, but eventually, the eeriness of the moment began to feel like a moment of unity. It would be many, many years later that a lot of us would have truly understood the meaning of grief and bereavement, but somehow this memory would often pop up as a source of strength in what could only be described as a difficult time. I mentioned this long story about the morning assembly only to continue a little further. A few hundred meters away from the assembly is the school canteen, an institution within the institution. All the staff in the kitchens are working in full force to feed hundreds of hungry boys who will visit the canteen during the day. The short break could be a simple prep with the dosas and vadas, which have a moderate flow of students, but in just about 90 minutes after, it is lunchtime. The entire canteen staff have to be a few steps ahead of everyone in order to feed all the kids. A standard lunch at school involved a rice dish which served as a carb base, a semi-dry gobi or cauliflower dish for the vegetarians, and a semi-dry chicken for all the non-vegetarians. Some days you got lucky and you might get paneer or even a red meat biryani, but that was the standard. To get this delicious food, however, you had to exchange your money for coupons right outside the canteen, and the coupon line can back up in minutes. I remember some friends who would buy coupons for an entire week in one day to skip the daily line, while some others would use the short break to buy coupons for the lunch break. Even those who would show up at the regular lunchtime would seek out a friend already ahead in the line to buy their coupons for them, but they had to be careful to make sure it isn't too far up in the line because the person behind the counter just didn't give out coupons. They also contributed to disciplining us. If we were caught trying to bully a junior into buying your coupons. The junior would be forced to return the money to you. Or if you were ever disrespectful while purchasing these coupons, you had a chance of being denied the coupons and worse, holding up a line for a bunch of hungry boys. So the coupon line was a lesson in humility that way. With the coupons in hand, we finally get to our main topic, Mr. Babu. I will start with this disclaimer now. The following thoughts are based on my first-hand memories that I have experienced, or at most, the second-hand memories that my friends have shared with me over the years. That being said, let's talk about Babu's Chicken. Even when I started the GWB podcast, I used Babu's Chicken as an example of a memory that was shared across multiple batches. I believe it even worked as a hook to get everyone interested in what I was trying to say through this endeavor. From friends who have stories from school in the canteen to those who have brought their spouses back to school many, many years later, Mr. Babu was a constant. It may be unfair to call the canteen chicken Babu's chicken, since there were many others behind the scenes to put that food onto your plate. But it is how many of us definitely remembered it as, because it was very likely that he was the one serving it to you. The food has always been tasty, but here's something I want to celebrate about Mr. Babu. He convinced multiple batches of students that he was their best friend. One in three people would claim that they knew him well enough to get their food faster amidst the chaos of the final frontier between the food and student. How often did you have one guy who would take your coupons and say, "Wait here, I'll get it off fast"? If you do the math, I doubt we got our food any faster. But Babu would engage with you every 30 seconds and make you feel like your food was almost there. He would start with a, "Yeah, man," to a, "Yeah, yeah, man," to a slightly agitated, "Hey, wait, man," to finally give you your plate. If you try to act too smart, he would even threaten to rush outside, come around the counter and give you a beating. But that was needed, as that sent a message to everyone else trying to mess around. Some of us who were cheeky enough would try to leverage this so-called wait by asking him for an extra piece. And Babu was ahead of all of us. He would stare at you for a second, let you do your most dramatic pleading face, and then dig into the crumbs of the chicken container to give you some delicious crumbs of batter, which usually might not have even had any meat in it. But the satisfaction of convincing him to give you more than you had asked for had created another bond. A few months ago, we heard that Mr. Babu was retiring from his job, and we all sent messages on our various WhatsApp groups about it. Even that rogue Catonian's cafeteria page on Facebook shared this news, and one comment said something on the lines of, "Imagine now there is a generation of kids who will never know what Babu's Chicken means." Just before that thought could sink in, we heard the news of Mr. Babu's passing. While we all now live around the world with families of our own, this news is hard to digest. He had been a fundamental pillar in our growing years, and to realize he is no longer with us is a strong emotion, too complex to fit into words that can be picked out of the English dictionary. I will agree that many people had a deeper and stronger relationship with him compared to me. But the relationship I have is more through him. The fact that I bump into a Catonian who has graduated in the last 20 years, I can instantly bond when I say canteen and Babu in the same sentence. This is what I owe the man. The mention of Babu is what makes a 30-something-year-old forget all his present-day successes and failures and just become a teenager again and just say, "Bro," with a sparkle in his eyes. Babu was beyond the chicken, the gobi, the canteen, or the school. He's the secret password that brought generations together, and for that we will be eternally grateful. I wonder if this year, June 2024, a young middle school boy has also entered the main gate of the school, negotiating his way through the walk to get to class in time for the assembly. He stands in line, fidgeting in clothes that are two sizes bigger as he's supposed to grow into it. I wonder, when he stands in the assembly through everything, what would he feel when he hears this? I'm deeply grieved to announce the demise of Mr. Babu, the man who served hungry stomachs and united multiple souls. Let us observe a minute's silence, praying for the departed soul and the bereaved family. School, attention.